From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying thank you for being with us again today as we let the Bible speak. This week we come to the end of our series of messages on Psalm 138. We'll consider the psalmist's prayer as he ends this psalm, Forsake not the works of thine own hands, and our subject will simply be a cry from the heart. So stay with us. This week we continue our special offer of Dr. Ed Panosian's message on Islam. This is an instructive message from a renowned church historian, and you can receive your free cassette or CD copy by writing or calling us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. For those of you who have an internet connection, let me give you some additional information. First, you should visit our website at ltbsradio.com, or if you wish to spell it out, letthebiblespeakradio.com, and there you'll find audio files of our programs and text files of our daily commentaries, together with our internet bookstore. Then, and this is something I hope will interest you, especially if you either cannot find a church in your area or are housebound, you can watch our Lord's Day services live each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by going to faith.sermonaudio.com. That's faith.sermonaudio.com. And you'll be able to join us this Lord's Day at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, 11 a.m., 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Lord's Day services. I hope that you'll be able to join us this coming Lord's Day. It seems that almost everybody thinks he's going to heaven. In a recent ABC poll, 85% expressed the confidence or hope of reaching glory after they die. It would be wonderful if they all were actually going to glory. However, it's clear that all too many people suffer from disastrous delusions when it comes to matters such as where they will be in eternity. First of all, about 8 out of every 10 people who think they're going to heaven believe that heaven is a place where people exist only spiritually, not physically. In other words, their theology has no place for the resurrection of the body. And therefore, their hope is not based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any such hope is vain. It is only because he lives that we shall live. His resurrection guarantees ours. According to Scripture, every dead body will be resurrected, some in the resurrection unto life, and the rest in the resurrection unto damnation. Daniel the prophet describes these two resurrections in chapter 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is a text that speaks of these and those. These, that is, these many who then awake, shall do so unto everlasting life. Those who do not then awake shall still be raised, only in a resurrection that is unto shame and everlasting contempt. There's nothing at all in the Bible to lend credence to the notion that 85% of those alive today will be among those raised to eternal glory with Christ. Indeed, there's plenty to the contrary. It is interesting that most of the people who describe themselves as being religious believe that they are going to heaven. It is a persistent folly that constantly is bolstered by false teaching that God rewards religious behavior with eternal life. People seem to forget that it was to an eminently religious man, a man of clear moral integrity, that Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It is redemption by the blood of Christ, not religion, that fits a man for heaven. Salvation is by grace through faith, and is not of works of righteousness that we have done. No man gets to heaven because he personally deserves it, but because Christ merited it through his obedience unto death, a merit or righteousness that God freely places to the account of all who by faith receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Some other interesting facts surfaced in the ABC poll. Over half of those who describe themselves as being of no religion believe in heaven. Among those who say that they are not very religious, some 96% believe in heaven, and of these, 86% believe they're going to heaven. This is fascinating. It appears that even when people sell out to secular values and give up on church and things like that, they cannot shake the reality of eternity from their consciences. And most people hope that somehow they're going to make it to heaven. We're all going to die. We're all going to live on throughout all eternity. We will all be raised from the dead, either to heaven or to hell. You need to have more than your own opinion on which to build your hope for heaven, more than your best religious efforts to impress God. The Apostle Peter said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." The one of whom he spoke is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone could honestly say, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" That's a good question. Do you believe it?
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. my soul praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near, praise him in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the Amen sound from his people again. Gladly for a we adore him.
Today we commence our final study in Psalm 138 with David's cry from the heart, O Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hand. This message was first preached here in Greenville in Faith Free Presbyterian Church in the month of October during our Reformation month, which will explain some of my references at the beginning of the message. Today we're going to start by rereading Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me, and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. Today we come to the end of two series of messages. One in the morning where I've been dealing with Psalm 138. And this evening we reach the last of this year's Reformation studies, dealing largely with the attempts to reverse the Reformation, and tonight I deal with what has been happening in evangelicalism over these last years and decades, and seeing the great evangelical cave in. But this morning we come to the end of the studies in Psalm 138. The last verse and the last part of the verse climaxes with this great petition, forsake not the works of thine own hands. True prayer rests on a firm foundation. It is not the counsel of desperation, as if to say, when all else fails, try praying. It is not the wheel of despair, as if you were crying down a deep, dark hole with no real expectation that there is anyone there to hear you or to help you. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. When all else fails, when you've reached the end of all human ability and human resources, when your heart is tempted to sink into despair, it is good and it is right to turn to the Lord in prayer. Although that's not the only time to turn to the Lord in prayer. What I'm saying is that though a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ may be walking in darkness and hardly know which way to turn. Indeed, hardly know how to pray and what to pray in the will of God. Though he is in such circumstances, his praying still stands on a sure foundation. You read the words of this 8th verse, and you will see that the words of our text are immediately preceded by the words, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever." The foundation of all true prayer is first and foremost the obvious reality, the Lord is. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not just as a philosophical point of dogma, but as something grasped by faith deep within the soul. The Lord is. And he is Lord over all in heaven, in earth, or in hell. That is the ultimate foundation upon which prayer rests. He is working, whether we can see it and appreciate it or not. He is fulfilling his purpose, whether we can understand the way that he is taking or not. He has our good in mind, whether our circumstances seem to say that or not. And he will bring to a glorious perfection everything that concerns us. His mercy endureth forever. I would invite you to take a concordance sometime and just take note of how frequently that statement is made in Scripture. Take your concordance, and I think you will be amazed to see how frequently and under what circumstances this expression is made. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And the constant repetition of that sentiment is in Scripture because we, and I think every one of us in our own conscience, looking back in our own lives, will immediately admit to this. We lose sight of that so very, very easily. We are immediately beset with difficulties. And the very immediacy of the difficulties would so press in upon us that we can see beyond them to nothing else. But the Lord is saying, however hedged about your way may seem with affliction or trouble or trial, however confused your thinking in whatever subject, never forget this. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. So there is mercy now. Just as surely as when God sent the Son into the world. Just as certainly as when the Lord Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus and told him to rise and thereby wipe the tears away from the faces of his family. Just as surely as when our Savior died on the cross and when he rose again and when he poured out his Spirit and when he sent his church out on a mission of revival. Those were mighty evidences of mercy. But there is mercy today, just as certainly for you and me, whatever our circumstances. These are the pillars, as it were, on that great foundation on which we build our prayer lives. But in this text, verse 8, there is one particular foundation which stands out. And I want you to notice it carefully. It is the promise of God. The first part of verse 8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." I am not going to repeat what I said last week on that text, except to say that ultimately it means the Lord will finish what he has begun. He will bring to perfection and to completion that which he has commenced. He will perfect that which concerneth me. Now, at the end of the verse, the psalmist takes that promise and he cries, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." In other words, this is a prayer, "Lord, do precisely what you have said you will do." You know, that's an important truth that we must never forget. True prayer rests on the foundation of what the Lord is and on what the Lord has said. That's the foundation of all praying. Now, it's nice to feel a certain way when you pray. It's nice to have what Christians call liberty in prayer. It's nice to have a warm emotion in prayer. All those things are very comforting, and there is a place for them. But they are not the foundations of prevailing prayer. The foundation of prayer is the Lord Himself. What is He? What has He said? When David grasped that clearly, he was able to pray, even though he was walking in the midst of trouble. What he was saying is what he said in another place. "Remember the word upon which thou hast caused thy servant to hope. Remember the promise that you've given me. And, O Lord, do what thou hast said. Thou hast said thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. Thou wilt bring to completion what thou hast begun. Thou wilt finish what thou hast commenced. O Lord, forsake not the works of thine own hands." His cry essentially was, "Lord, arise." So often in the prayers of the psalmist and of the prophets, they will invoke the metaphor of sleeping. And they will say, "Lord, why sleepest thou? Lord, awake to my good. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered." These are expressions that come up again and again in the praying of these mighty men of God. And here David is praying along the same line, and he's saying, in effect, "Lord, arise and show thyself for what thou really art, and fulfill thy word unto thy servant." In many ways, that's the basic cry of every believer. What do you need in your life? What do I need in mine? What do we need in this church? What do we need in the Free Presbyterian Church? We need God to arise and show us what He really is. To take this out of the realm of mere dogma, mere profession, to take it beyond the realm of mere words, and let us have a demonstration of what God is by what God does. Let God arise and fulfill His word. Quite simply, our text then is a cry from the heart for the presence and power of God to be unfailingly displayed on behalf of His people. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.